Our scripture reading this morning is taken from John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15 through verse 19. Now, the first half of John chapter 21 happens about a month after the resurrection, and Jesus has not appeared to his disciples in over a month. So Peter, James, and John decide to return to Galilee and start fishing again. They're out in the boat the first night, and they catch nothing. But as they're coming into shore, a stranger on the shore calls to them and asks if they had caught any fish, and they reply that they had not. The stranger then instructs them to cast their net on the other side of the boat, and when they do, they haul in a very large catch of fish, and instantly they recognize that this person is Jesus. They come ashore, and they discover that Jesus has breakfast prepared for them, and he invites them to sit down and eat and warm up. At verse 15, breakfast is over, and now Jesus is ready to get down to business. Hear now these words. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to a place where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Over a decade ago, the computer world came to a screeching halt when a young man from the Philippines introduced a new computer virus. It was entitled the I Love You virus. You open up your email one morning and you find a message, and the title of the message is I Love You. So you open it up. The computer virus opens up and it fries your hard drive and your computer goes black. Now, the universal computer advice is if you get a strange email, don't open it. But this guy tricked a lot of people because he tapped into a very basic human need, the need to be loved. Jesus was God in human form. Even after the resurrection, he was still made of flesh and bone. Therefore, Jesus shared the same very basic human need to be loved. And so it should come as no surprise that he says to Peter, "Simon, Peter, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter says, "You know that I love you." He asks him a second time, "Simon, Peter, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter says, "Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." Then a third time, he says, "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me?" And Simon Peter says, "Lord, you know all things, and you know that you love me, that I love you." And Simon Peter is hurt because Jesus has asked him a third time. Now, what's going on in this passage? Is Jesus being insecure? Well, no. If you'll remember, Peter denied knowing Jesus three times. So the conventional interpretation of this passage says that Jesus was giving Simon Peter three opportunities to profess his love for him, one for each time he denied knowing him. But there is something much bigger going on here. And there is something much bigger going on that we cannot read and we can't pick up on when we read this passage in English. Now, the English have never been great lovers, and so it could come as no surprise that the English language is woefully inadequate to express the many varied kinds of love. We say things like, "I love my wife and I love chocolate cake." Now, there's a profound difference between the two loves, or at least there should be. You see, in the original Greek of the New Testament, there were seven different words that we simply translate as love. The Greeks had seven words for love. We only have one. And in this passage, Jesus is using one word, and Peter is using an entirely different word. Jesus says, "Simon Peter, do you agape me?" In other words, do you love me without any strings attached? And Peter replies, "Lord, you know that I phileo you. I really love you a whole lot as a friend." Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." Well, it doesn't quite sink in, and so he says it again. Simon Peter, son of John, do you agape me? And he says, Lord, you know that I phileo you. Feed my sheep. Still not getting it. So he asks a third time, Simon Peter, son of John, do you phileo me? Do you understand now why Peter felt hurt? Because Jesus was questioning even this lower level of love that Peter had for Jesus. He says, you know all things, and you know that I love you a whole lot as a friend. Jesus says, then feed my sheep. If you consider yourself my friend, then feed my sheep with the message of the resurrection. Feed my sheep with the hope that comes from the resurrection. Feed them with the message of my grace that breaks the power of sin. Now, here's the first faith lesson for us in this passage. Jesus does not demand that we grow up in our faith all at once. He simply meets us wherever we're at and says, okay, here's where you can serve me, right where you're at, right now. Be faithful at the level that you're at now so that you can grow to the next level and love me even more. You see, Peter was extremely immature and impulsive. Maybe we can't say, Lord, you know that I love you without any strings attached or conditions. Maybe all we can say is, Lord, I consider you my friend and I love you as a friend. Jesus says, then feed my sheep. Be faithful right where you're at. Then in verse 18, Jesus says this to Simon Peter. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to a place where you don't want to go. Now, let's keep in mind that when Jesus says, when you are old, he's not talking about old age. And he's not talking about being led to a place that you don't want to go. He's not necessarily referring to the nursing home. But when Jesus says, when you are old, he's saying, when you are spiritually mature, when you have grown up in faith, then is when you will give up making all the decisions based on what you want. When you are old, when you are mature in your faith, then is when you will be more easily led by me. And you see, when Jesus said these words to Peter, Peter was immature in his faith. Peter tried to make all his own decisions. But Jesus, rather than condemning him for that, simply states a future fact. Someday you will grow up spiritually, and when you are old, you will be led to a place where you don't want to go. Verse 19 claims that Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify the Lord. Peter himself was crucified as well. But before he got there, he did grow up in terms of faith. At the time that he and Jesus were having this conversation, Peter was extremely immature in his faith. At the time, Peter was impulsive. He said whatever he felt, and he did whatever felt good. But the Lord was gracious and took him by the hand and led him. And eventually, that impulsiveness grew up to become boldness. And boldness simply means saying what God would have you to say without flinching. Boldness also means doing what God would have you to do without apologizing. At the time, Peter was very stubborn. Now, some people take a great deal of pride in how stubborn they are, and that's too bad because stubbornness belongs to immature faith. But that's how Peter was at the time. But the Lord came and took him by the hand and led him, and eventually that stubbornness grew up, and it became strength of character. And strength of character means that you are relaxed about the things that God is relaxed about, and you're stubborn and inflexible about the things that God is stubborn and inflexible about. For example, God is very relaxed about outward appearance and worldly achievement, but he is stubborn and inflexible about demanding holiness and morality and purity of life. God the Father is very relaxed about offering grace and forgiveness freely to anyone who sins, but he's incredibly stubborn and inflexible about the source of that grace, which is Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, God the Father is not opening up any other route. Peter's immaturity was also on display in his big mouth that liked to brag about himself. But the Lord took him by the hand and led him along, and when he grew up in faith, his big mouth became the mouth of a teacher that glorified Jesus Christ. Peter was hot-tempered, but when he grew up in faith, that became a passion for ministry. Now, here's the second faith lesson for us. When was the last time you experienced a major spiritual growth spurt? Well, that's easy enough to answer, because when was the last time the Lord came and took you by the hand and led you to a place where you didn't want to go? And when he led you to this place, how much kicking and screaming did you do? Or rather, how much kicking and screaming were you allowed to do? The faith lesson is this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ takes us by the hand and leads us to a place where we don't want to go, rather than kick and scream, look at what he wants to grow up in you. You know, Peter's impulsiveness became boldness. His stubbornness became strength of character. His self-directed will became a God-directed will. So when was the last time the Lord Jesus Christ took you by the hand and led you to a place where you didn't want to go? I want to close by sharing a story with you about a pastor's wife. The pastor is named Leonard Ravenhill, and he shared this story with the permission of his wife, that when he and Mrs. Ravenhill began ministry, they started out in a medium-sized church, and it was a perfect fit. They loved the church, and the church loved them. Everything was great. They had provided them with a big, beautiful parsonage to live in. But there was just one problem. The parsonage was infected with cockroaches. And they tried to do everything they could to get rid of those cockroaches. Mrs. Ravenhill became a meticulous cleaner. They sprayed. They set traps. They called in an exterminator. They did a 24-hour fumigation of the house. But nothing that they did seemed to help. Well, eventually the day came when they were to move on. 21 years later, it was time for the Ravenhills to move on to a new church. And on the day they moved, there were hugs shared and tears shed and stories remembered. But in the back of her mind, Mrs. Ravenhill was glad to be getting away from the cockroaches. And she was also concerned about whether or not the cockroaches would follow them. And so they were very meticulous in packing their things and making sure that it was absolutely clean and that the cockroaches would not follow them. 3 months into their new place, no cockroaches had appeared. And for the first time in 21 years, Mrs. Ravenhill could finally breathe a big sigh of relief. One day, she was at the kitchen sink in their new place, and she flashed back to a memory many years ago that in their old parsonage, one day, how Mrs. Ravenhill walked into the kitchen and saw her oldest daughter, who was a toddler at the time, sitting on the floor playing with these cockroaches. That was extremely unnerving to Mrs. Ravenhill. And she began to question God and say, God, why did you never take those cockroaches away? Well, in the meantime, their oldest daughter grew up, went to college, met a young man, married him, and this young man and her decided that they were called to the mission field. And so that they had, in order to prepare for the mission field, they went to South America for a missionary field training camp, which is basically survival training for missionaries. Mrs. Ravenhill is anxiously awaiting for a letter to arrive from their daughter, and she hears the mail truck go by, and she walks out to the mailbox, and still questioning God, why did you never take those cockroaches away? She looks in the mailbox and hears a letter from their daughter. She opens it up and reads it quickly. And the last paragraph of that letter, God answers her question. Her daughter said in the last paragraph of that letter, Mom, if you think the cockroaches were bad in our house, you should see them down here. They're huge. Many of the wives can't deal with them, and they've already dropped out. I guess it's a good thing I got used to them when I was little. You see, when you are old, someone will lead you by the hand to a place where you don't want to go. But you can rest assured that that place will have a good, godly purpose that will serve the purpose of the kingdom of heaven. When you are old, when you are mature in your faith, you will be led to a place where you don't want to go, but that place will glorify God. Amen.